better than we had a man at our church, pastored him for years and years. He died last year, a deacon of our church. Every time you met him, I don't care where you met him or what he was doing, every time you met him, you'd say to him, "How you doing, John?" Every single time he'd say, "Better than I deserve." I don't care if he said it 100 times a day. And when he finally died and went on to be with the Lord, you know what message was left behind? "Better than I deserve." So God's been good tonight, and I appreciate that goodness of the Lord. And every one of us, I appreciate Brother Charles bringing the choir over, and then all of you that have come from various churches tonight. The Lord's helped us the last 2 nights, and pray that the Lord will help us tonight. I've struggled with my old, for you that don't know, I have a precancerous polyp on my right vocal cord and a nodule on my left vocal cord, and I have trouble sometimes, and I've had a trouble talking today. But the Lord will help us. We've preached about already, I think, 16 meetings this year, and still got 8 weeks to go yet. So pray the Lord will help us. I'm glad to be a part of what I do, aren't you? I was thinking over there, kind of apprehensive a little bit about preaching after struggling with the voice, and God's helped us so in the last 2 evenings. But I may have said this, some of you maybe heard me say it before, but I was thinking about old Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Some of you know who Bonhoeffer was. Bonhoeffer was that preacher that stood against Adolf Hitler and the Hitler regime, old Bonhoeffer. And he fought against Adolf Hitler. And fact is, he was a part of 2 attempted assassinations on Adolf Hitler. He kind of worked behind the scenes to try to knock him off. Maybe we get somebody like that for Obama. Amen. And amen. Run out here and tell somebody what I said now. And 2 weeks before he died, Adolf Hitler saw that his regime was coming down, and he knew he was going to fall. And he had Bonhoeffer put to death. He had him killed. And Bonhoeffer said, when they tried to get him to recant, Bonhoeffer made this statement. It hangs on my wall in my study. Bonhoeffer said this. He said, "I had rather fail at something that is destined to succeed than to succeed at something that's destined to fail." Did you get a hold of that? I'd rather fail at something that's destined to succeed as to succeed at something that's destined to fail. And so if I fail tonight, I'll try. God will do the rest. Amen. Take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of John. I want to read a few more verses. I really felt like the Holy Ghost would have us to go back to this tonight. I'm not preaching as I usually do in more of an expository way. I usually preach 95% of the time in an expository manner. But I'm not doing that. I'm dealing more with the subject this week. And I felt definite that God would have us. Before I came over here, thank God for Google. Anybody don't know who Google is? Somebody asked me some time back, said, "Who's the smartest fellow you know?" I said, "Google." Amen. Thank God for Google. And just before I came over here, I was reminded again of the verse of Scripture in Philippians. Paul said, "For me to write the same things again to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And Peter said that I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And I wondered how many times statistically that it is that a person has to hear something before they get a hold of that. And so I just asked Google. He knows just about everything. And how many knows the answer to that? 7 times you have to hear the thing repeated. 7 times. So I like to repeat myself tonight. I feel definitely pressed of God to repeat myself tonight. I know in the educational circle and in the Baptistic circle, if you repeat yourself, they say you're not prepared. But I feel definitely pressed of God. Some years back, I'll get to it in a minute. Some years back, I preached a message at our church on Sunday morning and struggled with it, and it just didn't go out the way I wanted it to. I prayed all afternoon, and you probably won't believe this, but the Holy Ghost kept burning my heart to preach the same message again that I preached that morning. I'm talking about the same outline. I struggled with that. About 5 o'clock, I finally said, Lord, if this is of you, give me a Bible example of it. Yeah. Saying the same thing again. And he did. Yeah, sure. He reminded me almost immediately when Moses went up in the mount to get the law, God said, you tell them not to come up near the mount nor touch the mount. If you do, you die.
Yes, sir.
He told them, and he went up into the mountain, and God said, go back down there and tell them again not to come up near the mountain or touch it, lest they die. And God said, there's your example. I want to try to remind you again tonight of the same truth, and maybe go a step further if the Lord will help us. I want to try to remind you that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, which you have of God. You're not your own. You bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Know ye not that your body's the temple? I believe in these days, I've said this so much, and I'll read a text. I don't usually say much when I get up. I just read the text and preach, but I'm convinced, Brother Charles, in these days that, nobody I don't think preaches much more on the cross and the work of the Lord Jesus than I do, but I think sometimes we hang up there. We can get hung up back there at Calvary, and surely I don't think you can preach too much on the cross. I think we need more preaching on the cross, if anything. But we need to understand that we're past the cross. And we now are into the post-resurrection ministry of our Lord. And God did not leave us alone to fend for ourselves and to take care of ourselves and to meet our needs. But thank God he gave us one to meet our needs for us and to carry us the divine distance that we need to go with our God. So look tonight in John 16. Let's read this again. And verse 7, pray for this old scratchy voice. The Bible said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you. We're trying to deal with that term. That it's the best thing for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Let's bow to pray. Father, thank you, dear Lord, tonight for all the good singing that we've heard, both in the congregational, the choir, and the specials. Lord God, tonight when we stop to think how good you've been to us. Lord, we all have been to hell, every last one of us right now. Lord, we ought to be walking, even if we're here in this earth, we ought to have been walking in our own despair. But Lord, tonight thank you that you lifted us, Lord, out of ourselves and brought us before you, dear God, crushed our heart and our will one day and helped us to see the Lord Jesus. And God came to him and was set free from the burden of our sin. I thank you for that tonight. I pray now, Lord, that you'd help us. I'm in desperate and dire need, God, tonight, of your touch. Lord, somehow, even this evening, it seems that something's attacked my mind. Lord, tried to steal out of my mind and my heart what I feel, God, that you would have to be preached this hour. Oh, God. Oh, great God tonight. Lord, would you not, Lord, show up and walk among us and God speak to us the precious word of God. Our Father, anoint us with the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Lord, unto you belong all praise and all glory and all honor. Please help us tonight. Touch my voice. And Lord, help us, I pray. Lord, save someone. Touch someone. Change someone, I pray. We love you and praise you for all your goodness toward the children of men. Have your way and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I shared on Monday night a portion of a message on the ministry of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And God helped us. I gave you probably 8 or 10 statements of different men and things that they had said about this thing of needing the Holy Ghost. Oh, if there's ever an hour where we need to return to the trust in the power of the Holy Ghost, it's today. Amen. We're so mechanical. We're so methodical. We've got it all figured out and organized and put together. But oh, how we need the Holy Ghost to just turn our hearts and turn our minds and do the work that only He can do. I meant to preach on something last night, but God got a hold of us and we dealt with this one verse of scripture for the entire meeting. But may I say, I don't think that we can put enough emphasis on the need of the Holy Ghost in our life. The precious Holy Spirit of God, the gentle dove of God, the one sent back of God, thank God to do the work of God. One writer said this, and then I'll come to what I hope or think maybe that the Lord would have us to say tonight. One writer said this, he said to the Christian who is given to realize that he owes, listen to this statement, that he owes to the personal operations of the Holy Spirit, every divine influence exercised upon him from the first moment of regeneration until his final consummation in glory. It cannot be a matter of little interest for him to aspire after the fullest apprehension of him and his finite faculties. May I say that's true tonight? I'm convinced that, everything that God does in our life, from the day we get saved to the day we close our eyes in death, is done through the person of the Holy Ghost's influence in our life. Oh, friend, may I say to you tonight, it's of vast importance what we think and how we know and how we understand the Spirit of God. It's important to our walk. Amen. I'll come on in a minute, but it's important to our walk. Walk in the Spirit that you might not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and temperance and faith and meekness. Against such there is no law. Amen. May I say this, when you walk in the fullness of the Spirit, your walk changes. Amen. I just want to mind God a minute here. We'll get to where the Lord has in a minute maybe. But you know,
Have you, listen, I say this as humbly as I know how. Please, Lord, help me to say it rightly. Have you ever believed that you were filled with the Spirit of God? Have you ever experienced a time when you knew that God had filled you with the Spirit of God? I want to say your walk changes. You walk humbly. You walk gently. You walk carefully. You walk tenderly. It'll affect your walk. It's important to our worship. We worship God in spirit and in truth. It's important to our work. Amen. Everything about our Christian life is dependent upon the ministry of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I tried to emphasize each night. I want to say it one more time tonight. And then try to come to what would be the mind of the Lord. May I say again, know ye not. Try and emphasize this truth repetitively to us, that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1, he said, in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you trusted, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of the glory of his grace. Listen to me tonight, friend. I'm trying to say, if you don't know who lives in you, you're going to be weak and anemic and defeated. But once you know who really lives in you, you know that you have power to do what you need to do. Lord, help my throat. Listen at me a minute, friend. I made this statement last night, and I think maybe Monday night, and then I'll come to my text. I made this statement that I'm tired. I'm sick. I'm fed up by seeing people get in and get out. I'm burnt out with seeing them go a few days and quit. Listen, friend, God did not leave you helpless. God did not leave you powerless. God did not leave you by yourself. Thank God you have tonight one living inside of you that has the same power as God has, that has the same ability and the same capability as God has. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, that what I just said could be recognized. I'm not in a hurry. Do you know we know a lot of things with our head that we've never really realized with our heart? Did you know that? We know so many Bible statistics and Bible facts and Bible things, but somehow it's just lodging in her head. But oh, that our heart, oh, that our heart could get a hold of what our head knows. It's one thing to say amen to when I say that we have a power that's equal to the power of God. It's one thing to say amen to that, then go ahead and live defeated. I'm not in a hurry. Lord, help us, Jesus. Oh, help us, Lord. There's a difference in the reality of something and the realization of something. Did you know that? A thing can be a reality without you having a realization of it. How much do we realize? Help me, Lord. How much do we realize that our body, my body, this little 190-pound frame, is the temple? In the garden, God walked in the garden with Adam. But then man sinned and God threw him out of the garden. He didn't walk with him anymore. In the days of the Exodus, God come to live in a sanctuary that he had built for his purpose. Amen. But in Exodus, in Ezekiel, he left that sanctuary and he walked no more among men. And so for thousands of years in the Old Testament, he walked in nothing nor nobody. But one day the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is only God and the Father, full of grace and of truth. He walked again among men. But man killed him. And he went away. And there was nowhere for him to walk again. Are you listening? And so 50 days after the resurrection, the Holy Ghost came and found in a body that Jesus may live and dwell on the earth again. He lives in me and he lives in you. I tried to get to my text last night. I don't know where I'm going to get there again tonight or not. But listen to me a minute. Ephesians 2 said that we are the habitation of God through the Spirit. That word habitation means native environment. Help me, Lord. We're the native environment of God. You get a hold of that? The native environment. A fish's native environment's in the water. When it's out of the water, it's out of its environment. A human's native environment's on dry land. When it's in the water, it's out of its native environment. God said the church, the body of Christ is his native environment. In other words, he ought to feel like he's in his place when he's in the body of the believer. Amen. Does he feel at home in you? Are you furnishing him a body that he feels at home in? Oh, Lord, I don't know where I'm going here. Have you ever been in a place that you felt unwanted? I wonder sometimes, help me, Lord, and preaching myself under conviction. I wonder sometimes if the Lord might feel unwanted. Oh, I'm not talking about in the building here. God don't live in this building. There's nothing holy. This building's dedicated, but it's not holy. What makes a place holy is where God lives. Amen. I ain't even said a word I meant to come up here and say yet. Are you listening? Over there in the Old Testament, Moses walked on that ground one day and God said, Moses, take your shoes off, for the ground whereon you stand is holy ground. What made that ground holy? It wasn't nothing but the fact that God was there. Amen. Amen. Oh, to think that the God of heaven, to think that the God of heaven lives in my body and he's made it a holy temple. Oh, it went from a desecrated place and a depraved place and a dark place and a dry place and a dead place and a dying place to a living place, a light place, a place, thank God, where God now lives. Oh, to know. There are people sitting in this building. You know that the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But you've never realized it. Absolutely. Paul prayed there in Ephesians 1. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That disciples that walked the Emmaus road, he had told them repeatedly he's going to rise from the dead, and they didn't know that, and he walked with them and they didn't even know who he was. You know why? The eyes of their understanding were not enlightened. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Would somebody pray for me? Oh, the day that God opens your understanding and lets you realize, I know I've said it every night, but to say it again, that you realize you're not alone. You're not alone. This is not your battle. This is not your burden. This is not you to do the work. He sent one to live in you, thank God, that can do the work that only He can do. I have never, and I've preached over 600 revivals in my life, I have never had such a burden to get a thought across as I have in these days. We're living defeated. We've tried every man-made method. We've tried every man-made thing exist and still come up on rock bottom. I promise you, I've got enough to preach for 6 months here, but I'm trying to mind God right now. This is the same God that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. That's the same God. Oh, my soul. That's the same God. Amen. How in the world can He live in us and promise that He's going to do such a great work both in and through us and then us be so defeated? It must be the difference in reality and realization. A truth can be real and you not even realize it. I'm reluctant to say this, but I feel like maybe it hit somebody. It's like the difference in the reality of being lost and the realization of being lost. In reality, everybody's lost. But everybody's never realized they're lost. If you ever get them to realize they're lost, most of them will get saved. But you can't get them to realize it. The reality of the fact of the matter is they're lost. Many years ago, me and my brother went deer hunting. I had some money in my pocket, about $700 in my wallet. I'd sold something and had about $700 in my wallet. We went deer hunting, hunted all day. Came back out of the woods after dark and got in the truck and went to the house. And I went home and just stripped out the clothes and let them fall down. You know, this no work coveralls like thing, hunting coveralls. And didn't take my pockets empty or nothing. And the next morning, I got up and took a shower. And I took a shower thing before I went to bed. And the next morning, I got up and started changing clothes and I reached to get my wallet out of the hunting pants. Yeah. And it wasn't there. My heart skipped about 10 beats. See, in reality, that wallet was lost yesterday. I wouldn't have been bothered about that. The fact of the matter is, it was just as lost yesterday as it was when I found it in the morning. Yeah. I didn't get tore up till there come the realization of the reality. A lot of folks sit on a church bench in reality are lost as a June bug in a hailstorm. But if the Holy Ghost ever shakes up your world and lets you realize where you're at, you won't have to have a soul winner to lead you 40 verses. You'll run and begin to cry and seek out the Lord. And the same's true as sure as a sinner can be in a state in reality and in another state without realization. I believe a saint can be in the same position. Many people, help me God, I ain't going to get to a word of my outline tonight. A lot of people sit on a church bench living in reality on the other side of the empty tomb at Pentecost. I believe that. You say, "Hey, you believe that?" I've done it for a lot of years. And it wasn't until one day I just give it up, and I got so tired of trying. I got so tired of struggling. I got so tired of trying to do all this. And I remember one day I said, "God, I can't do it. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to quit. I don't know where to go on. But I know this, I can't keep doing it the way I'm doing it." And God drove me, Brother Charles, away from every preacher and away from every church. And I began to search that old black book, amen, to find out what God had given me. And I found out, thank God, that I'm not empty-handed and I'm not empty-hearted and I'm not going to be left alone. I found out, thank God, that I have one living inside of me that can do what needs to be done, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm trying my best to get some of what I wanted to preach last night, and I still ain't there. Marriage statistics are awful in our country. Teenage statistics are awful. Churches are shutting their doors at a rate of 4,000 a year. That's all combined. Statistics. Sister Muskin's statistics tell us that every single Sunday in America, there are 20,000 people less in church every single Sunday across America. Now, I'm not talking about one occasional. Every Sunday, last Sunday, Sunday before that, this coming Sunday, 20,000 less, next Sunday, 20,000 less. And I understand that most of those folk ain't saved to start with. But I don't want to be a statistic. I was in revival just a few weeks back, and in the prayer room one night, one man stood up and said, "Pray for us." And we just met. It was on Monday night. Said, "We just met last night, and we shut the church doors." Another set of church 12 miles from here is fixing to shut up at the end of the year. I don't know how to say this, and I'll try to say on both sides, but it might be bad some of them did shut up. But even with that being stated, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of seeing the battle lost? Aren't you tired of seeing children being dragged back to the world and dragged through the sewer? It does not have to be that way. There's one that wants to get us down at the house, not just down at the house of God, but at the house. and worship through us. I wanted to preach one night, but time's getting away. I wanted to preach one night on the crowning ministry. The crowning ministry of the Holy Ghost. Maybe I ought to just mention it tonight in case I don't get there. What is the crowning ministry of the Holy Ghost? What's his biggest ministry? Is it making us shout and have that little spine-tingling sensation? Is that his crowning ministry? His crowning ministry, according to John 14, 15, and 16. John 14, he teaches us about Christ. In chapter 15, he testifies to us about Christ. And in chapter 16, he transforms Christ. He glorifies Christ. His crowning ministry is showing us the darling Lamb of God that went to Calvary and getting our eyes off of ourselves and getting our eyes on the Son of God. May I say, I can't see him in myself, but he can help me see him. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me closely. Help me, Lord. The reason we're failing is we're not seeing Christ. It's the reason our churches are dying. We're seeing ourselves. Half the pulpits get up and start with something like this now in days like these. Then we proceed to expound and expose all the wicked sin from the White House to the church house. And leave it all hanging right there. Then we come to church and was already about bowed down to all we could carry. And then time everybody told of their problems and their backslidings and their hardships and their troubles and all of their defeats and beats. And the preacher gets up and crowns another big wad of trouble and heartache and defeat and sin and trouble on her back. And we ain't seeing Christ. And the reason we ain't seeing Christ is that's the ministry of the Holy Ghost to point to him. And if we ain't walking in the Spirit, we ain't going to see him. Amen. And so our problem is we're so carnal and so fleshly and so cold and walking in the flesh so much that the Holy Ghost is not pointing to and revealing Christ to us. Let me tell you something. I think you'll agree. I have never had a problem nor a bad day that somehow, if God would point the Lord Jesus out to me, anytime, I'm not talking about a vision, anytime I could see him, any time I could see him, just seeing him bring victory to my soul. I don't care where I'd see him. Back in 1998, we started building a building. Built a $1.5 million building. I drawed the blueprints to it. I drawed all the blueprints sitting at my kitchen table after revivals. Preached meeting. I'm saying this for a reason. Preached meetings all year. Had a full-time radio broadcast and pastored a church about 150. I drew those prints. I ordered every piece of material went in it. I paid every bill with my own finger, wrote ink out on a check and paid every bill. I oversaw every detail of the building. Men of the church built it. I was going 20 hours a day for 2.5 years. At the end of that 2.5 year, we got moved into the building. Beautiful place. I found myself preaching, but there was nothing on it. It was just dry. Oh, it was the Word.
but it was just dry. I'd go out of the building, I'd tell my wife and say, I've lost something. She'd say, honey, she'd say the preaching's good. It's just the word of God. And I said, yeah, but it might be good, but it ain't got nothing on it. And I said, if this is what it is to have a new building, I'd rather have the old building than have all that and have God back on me. And I got to praying. I said, Lord, I need that touch on my life again. I need to where I can get in that little secret place and get a hold of you. And get in that old book. God, you squeeze my heart. I got to saying, Lord, what am I going to do? Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to get that back? I got to praying. The Lord began to deal with my heart in this way. I'm not talking about no audible voice. Y'all know I don't mean that. But God got talking to my heart. And God said, you remember when you first started to preach, you had nothing but a Bible and a prayer closet. You didn't have a commentary. You didn't have a CD. You didn't have a radio. You just had a Bible and a heart full of Jesus and a prayer closet. He said it worked back then. It'll work again. So I got to shutting everything down and going to my prayer closet and taking my Bible. I got through every week. I'd read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All four of them. And then after about the fourth week, I added Romans and Acts. I was reading them every week. You say, that's a lot of reading. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something. About the end of that fourth week, starting in that fifth week, I got sight of a Savior I hadn't seen in a while. It had become the dead letter of the law. It had become do good and don't do bad. Amen. Christianity ain't do good and don't do bad. Christianity's a person. It's a Son of God that loved us and came down here and suffered and bled and died for our sins. It's Him. You lose sight of Him and you'll lose it all. You'll lose everything. What this church and my church and Brother Muskin's church and everybody else needs is the Holy Ghost to get a hold of us and point out the Son of God again. I can't do that. When I get cold and I lose sight of Christ and Calvary and the empty tomb and the high priestly order and the second coming of Christ, when I lose all that. And don't misunderstand this statement now. Holy Ghost, run a check my heart to make sure that you understand what I'm saying. I begin to preach standards and rules. Now, not that I'm against that, understand. We have standards, dress codes. My wife practices them. I practice them. I won't even go out in my yard with a t-shirt on. So I'm not talking about denying standards and rules. I think we're among right people here. You understand what I'm saying? But I lose sight of the cross. The ministry of the Holy Ghost is to testify and teach and talk about Him. And I know this. My heart's full of God. I can't help but talking about Him. I think about Him when I lay down and I think about Him when I get up. I ride down the road and thank God He scoots in the seat with me. Amen. Amen. It happened to me. If it ain't happened to you. Something's matter with the churches. I really believe that we've missed the ministry of the Holy Ghost. I was praying last week. I said, Lord, I ain't got enough sense. Lord, I ain't got enough sense to know what them people needs over there. Lord, I don't know nothing about them. And if I did, I ain't got enough sense to know what they need. I said, Lord, would you let me zero in on what they need? Yes, sir. God began to squeeze my heart every day and I need to preach on the Holy Ghost. I still ain't past it yet, and this is three nights. I've preached three different ways every night about it. Let me just say this, and I'll close tonight. I'll just give it up and get the outline tomorrow. For Lord, let us, if we don't, well, let's, I don't know what to do. How much is God in control of your life? How submitted your heart to the Holy Ghost? I don't claim to be nothing. God in Him knows that. I mean that with all my heart. I tell you what I have learned. The more sensitive I am to the little things in my life from him, just the sensitive to them little things. He puts a... I wanted to deal with one of the things that he does is he speaks. He said in John 16 there, when he speaks not of himself, but he speaks of him. And he speaks. And I thought about that thing. If he speaks so much, why are we hearing so little? If he's speaking so much, why are we hearing so little? When's the last time you heard from him? I got to think about what he said about Elijah over there when he went up into the mountain. He was depressed. And a big old earthquake that shook the rocks. God wasn't in that. Big wind. God wasn't in that. And Elijah sat down and got real still. Real still. And all that stillness, God spoke. God speaks, the Holy Ghost speaks in a small, still voice. Oh, Lord. We can't hear him today because there's too much racket. Telephones, texting, surfing the net, TVs, radios, CDs, VCRs, DVDs. Too much racket. Too much racket. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. It was in the quietness of the early morning tomb that Jesus spoke to Mary. Too much racket. You can't hear the Lord with the radio and the TV blaring. Well, I got to quit here. I'm losing you. I'm losing you. I can tell I'm losing you. You can't hear him. I wish I could say this in a way without sounding, trying to act like an example. I don't mean that. God in heaven knows my heart. I drive a many a meeting, 200 and 300 miles. I'll be driving next month down to Tampa. 12 hours straight through. I never turn a radio on. I never turn a CD on. I just start. I got this little old statement. I don't know whether I'll even tell it or not. I ain't never told it my whole life. Never told it my whole life. Nowhere. Not to my wife, my own church. I got this little statement. I repeat it to myself all the time. For thy glory, Lord. For thy glory, Lord. For thy glory, Lord. For thy glory, Lord. And in the stillness and quietness, before I get to where I'm going, he gets in that truck with me. And he starts talking to me. It don't take much to blur him out. It don't take much to stifle him. It don't take much that you can't hear him. Oh, in a world as dark as we live in, I've got to have his ear. I've got to have his voice in my heart. I've got to listen to him and hear a word of direction from him. The ministry. See, we're about scared to death they can preach about him. Somebody call us charismatic. I ain't a charismatic. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. But I ain't afraid to use the word Holy Ghost. I need him. I need him, Brother Charles. I'm done here. I need him, Brother Muskin. I need him. I need him. I need him. I don't know what my people need Sunday. I know this. They don't need me to go to a camp meeting and copy somebody else's outline, run it out there and preach it just to get through a day. I've got teenagers that needs a word from God. I've got homes that needs a word from God. I don't know that word.
but he searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. He knows the mind of God. He knows the mind of people. He can get the mind of God and the mind of the people and bring them together to where their minds are alike. Oh, we need. Is that rain? Right there is what we need spiritually. Just the dew of heaven. The showers of blessing. I'm trying to hush. I ain't preached not one word I come up here to preach. Not one word. Anybody ever heard those books and they knew their God? Oh, Lord. Preacher, if you can find them, son. And they knew their God. They six of them. And they talk about old saints. I read them books and I sit and cry my eyeballs out. I read about them old men of God. They're printed from Hampton, Tennessee. I read about them old men of God back in the 16, 17, 1800s that laid in their puddles of tears for 2 and 3 days at a time, begging the fullness of God. And God would break hearts and revivals would come. And they knew their God. Well, the Terry Dietz, I gave me one of them recently. I was preaching revival for him back in March, I think. Somebody at church gave me the other five. And there was one lady in that. I think about her and I weep and I cry every time I think about her. She couldn't read her name in boxcar letters. But she so learned to trust God. She'd come to a road sign. She didn't even know which way to take. And she'd beg God to help her see which road to go in. And God pointed her down the right road. You say, I don't believe in that. That's what's marth us. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the children of God. His Spirit beareth witness, our spirit. We're the children of God. I believe He can lead you. I believe He can guide you. I believe He can direct you. I believe He can take you down the right road. One prayer I pray most every day is, Lord, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. God, don't let me go down a path today that I might get in trouble. God, hold me up somehow. Take me down. Hey, He can do that if you'll surrender and submit to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Let's all stand. Sister Gail, whoever come to the piano, have submitted your heart to God tonight. How surrendered is your will to the will of the Lord?